In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of our Lord Jesus Christ has been called the greatest story ever told. In fact, there was a movie about the life of Jesus by that name. We've all heard that great story many times. I don't think I have to give anyone a spoiler alert when I say Jesus rises from the dead at the end. But imagine what a shocker that must have been to people hearing that story for the very first time. So, what's new in the greatest story ever told for us who already know the ending? There just might be some nuances, some details, some twists that maybe we haven't considered in a while, or perhaps we've never thought about at all. Matthew begins by telling us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to Jesus' tomb. We know who Mary Magdalene is. Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. The Bible never exactly says what Mary did when she was demon-possessed. There has been speculation about her leading a sordid life, but the Bible never says that. What's important is that she was a sinner in Satan's grip who was saved by Jesus. And that makes me and you, just like her, just like Mary Magdalene, a redeemed sinner. Who was the other Mary? We presume that she was Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, who watched Jesus be crucified in the previous chapter of Matthew's gospel. But Mary was a common name at the time and place. Jesus' mother was named Mary. And if it was important for us to know exactly who she was, Scripture would have made it clear. Maybe the point is that there are a lot of Christians out there, people who are nameless and faceless to us, but God knows them. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you have to be well-known or well-connected. I would love to have everyone here have their names on our church membership rolls. But far more important is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to be my or anyone else's buddy to be a Christian. You only have to have Jesus as your friend. Matthew also tells us that the two Marys who went to Jesus' tomb went there on the Sabbath, on the first day of the week. Some people want to quibble over the timeline. Saturday was the Sabbath, Sunday is the first day of the week. It's just that simple. When Christians debate this, when they debate inconsequential little details like that, it's an embarrassment to our faith. Note how the women went toward the dawn. That means early in the morning. Let's give the Marys some credit for getting up at all. Their world had come crashing down. Jesus' death had devastated them. It crashed all of their hopes. I admit that there have been times when I've had a lot of trouble getting out of bed in the morning because the thought of facing another day seemed like a lot more than I could handle. And I bet that many of you have felt that way too at some time or another. All that got me up out of bed, and all that probably got the women up, was the dogged faith that Jesus was going to get us through that day some way, somehow. How blessed we are that God gets us perpendicular every day and headed toward the dawn. Amazing things can happen in life if you just show up. At about that time, there was an earthquake. You recall that there was also an earthquake when Jesus died. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes momentous events in the heavenly sphere are accompanied by dramatic events in the earthly sphere. Nature was in tune with Jesus' atoning death and with his glorious resurrection. all of creation witnesses to Christ. An angel descended and rolled back the stone that was sealing the tomb. That was no small feat. A stone like that would have required several strong men to move it. You notice that angels are always present at the most crucial times of Jesus' life, at his birth, at his temptation, during his agony in the garden, and now here at his resurrection. We often tend to think of angels as cute little cherubs. In the Bible, everyone's first reaction to seeing an angel is terror. Angels are fierce. The tough Roman soldiers faint when they see them. To the woman, the angel says, "Do not be afraid." That's what angels always have to say. And the women, full of faith, didn't faint like the soldiers. They conversed with the heavenly being. Apparently, Jesus had been raised before the angel descended. In our creed, we confess our belief that, as the Bible says, Jesus descended into hell. That was before he appeared to anyone on earth. It was a victory lap that Jesus took around the netherworld, proclaiming his victory. The angel didn't unseal the tomb to let Jesus out. Jesus didn't need any help. The angel opened the tomb to let the women in so that they could be witnesses. First, the angel tells the Marys that Jesus is risen. If one of God's angels says it, you can believe it. Think of all the lies and false predictions that we so easily believe that come from human beings with sinister, ulterior intentions, and how hard it is for us to believe a heavenly angel or God's handpicked human witnesses. Not only did the women hear that Jesus was risen, they saw the evidence that the tomb was empty. With guards there and the heavy stone, no one could have stolen Jesus' body. And don't even try to say that Jesus faked his death or he was in a coma and revived and somehow escaped. Jesus had been beaten to a bloody pulp, and the soldiers who crucified him knew their business. No way were they going to fail to carry out a death sentence. That would have meant their own death. Jesus had died, and Jesus was raised. Case closed. The angel told the women to go tell Jesus' disciples what they had heard and seen and let them know that Jesus was going to appear to them. It is said that the women went with fear and great joy. How could they feel both fear and joy? If Jesus is risen, the possibilities for us are endless, and that's both a good thing and more than a little frightening. We think that we know this world. We are at least comfortable with our ways of life. If Jesus is alive, it changes everything. We can't go on believing what we've always believed. We can't go on living our mundane lives. We can let go of the grudges we've been nursing. We can let go of the bad attitudes we harbor. We can let go of the vices that have become habits. But do we really want to? Do we really want Jesus to be our Lord? Or are we not ready for an upgrade over the idols that we've been serving? Next is a surprising twist. The women meet Jesus. Sometimes, when we're busy with something else, Jesus surprises us. He finds us when we aren't looking for him. What did the women do when they encountered the risen Christ? What would you do? Would you ask Jesus questions? Hey, Jesus, are you so powerful that you can make a rock so heavy that you yourself can't lift it? Or would you ask Jesus for a favor? Jesus, I know you can do anything. Could you arrange for me to hit the Mega Millions lottery just once? I'm not greedy. The Marys didn't ask questions. They didn't ask favors. They worshiped. That's the proper response. That's what we ought to do. And that is what we are doing. The risen Christ is here among us today, just as surely as he was with those women on that first Easter. Jesus said, "Wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Jesus is here in our gathering. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. Here we proclaim the Word. You have heard Jesus speak. At the Last Supper, Jesus gave the disciples the sacrament of his body and blood. We will celebrate Holy Communion here in our Easter gathering. Christ will be present here among us. Jesus sent the women to tell his brothers that he was going to meet them. Isn't that incredible? Jesus doesn't call us his creatures or his slaves or even his students. He calls us his family. He loves us, and he loves us so much that he is going to appear one more time in glory. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven to his Father and our Father. And one day, Jesus will come again and take us to be with him forever in perfect peace and blessedness. There in his eternal kingdom, there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. That is good news that we want to share with everyone. So our Easter message is, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.